Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah. Well, are you glad you're here this morning? Are you excited about what God's got today? God's whole purpose and plan, and we read that in Galatians, is to equip us for the work of the ministry, but also, and that part of that equipping is understanding the Scripture and walking in the things of God, and to, so that God can put in operation in our life what it takes to demonstrate to others His presence and His power and His glory. Amen? And so the message this morning is, I've been struggling with it all week, not struggling with it as, you know, like you might think, you know, it was a heaviness or a burden, but I want to see the power of God. I'm hungry for it. I'm desperate for it. And you know what? God wants it and He's already given it. But, you know, the one thing we can't run away from is with God, it's always our move. Because the minute we ask Him, the minute we ask in faith, He does what He's supposed to do. But sometimes I think we think we're just going to receive by osmosis or something, you know. Gee, Lord, that'd sure be nice. But we don't live up to our requirements, and we don't give honor the way we need to give honor to God. Can you say amen with me? And that's why we're stifling ourselves. I'm not going to preach right this moment, but maybe that'll help you out. How real is God's presence to you is the title of the message this morning. So meditate on that for a few minutes. Anyway, praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we give You glory and praise and thanksgiving for this morning. Thank You, Lord, that You are our King and our Priest and our Lord, Lord, our High Priest. Thank You that You're our Savior and that You're in our lives, that You bring the anointing with You, Lord, because You are the Anointed One. We turn to You this morning. We surrender to You. We want Your will accomplished in this house. And we want our will to be in line with Your will and to begin to operate and see and our eyes to be open to what You say and what we need to do to see the fullness of what You promised. And so, Lord, this morning we surrender to You. We give You first place. Holy Spirit, we give You full reign in this service in our lives. And Lord, today we thank You that we're going to be changed. We're going to be directed and corrected by Your word. For all that, we praise and thank You. We thank You that the music is going to be pleasing to You, Lord. We give honor to Your word once again this morning, Lord, and to You. In Jesus' name. If you can agree with that, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is good. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God this morning His tithes and our offerings. Amen. You know, one of the things that God's dealing with me on is not the giving of tithes. You know, I don't know about y'all, but God's been really tugging at my heart about living a life of giving. And, you know, sometime we'll get into that. I'm not going to go into that today, but the point is if we live a life of giving, if our whole life is motivated by giving, man, I'll tell you, there's we'd have this church paid off. We'd have things going like a house of fire in our lives and in this place. Amen? If we would allow God, let's put it that way, if we would just allow God to change our attitudes, change the way we think in every area, not just a few areas, but in every area of our life. I know everybody here is changing. I see it. I recognize it. I hope myself too. I'm praying. I believe that. But if we would just do what God says and trust Him, really trust Him in every area, I'm telling you, what we would see would astound us, and it would astound the community and the world. Mm-hmm. Amen? I'm reading a book right now that Harry gave me that belongs to Bill's sister, and they're seeing supernatural miracles where hair grows right in front of people's face, right in the meetings. Imagine that. Supernatural miracles where people lose weight right there standing in front of you. And I'm not talking about just a few pounds. I'm talking about three or four or five dress sizes or you know, clothing sizes. The enemy wants to steal and kill and destroy. And if he can get a foothold into our thoughts in any way, shape, fashion, or form, he can stifle the power and the glory of God in our lives. Amen. Amen. And so we need to make sure that we don't give place to the devil. Hello. That's what the Word says. Neither give place to him. Amen? So, as God speaks to your heart, do what God tells you to do. We owe Him the tithe at least. But the blessings come from everything over and above that, and with the abundance and the hilarity of heart that we give. And I mean, I've heard this, I've used this excuse myself. Well, you know, I don't know if I can afford to give. Family of God, you can't afford not to, because the blessing, God says He'll rebuke the devourer. You may not get ahead, but you'll be solvent if you understand that term, if you'll just give to the Lord. Amen? I didn't write this. God wrote this. God wrote this. And I've come to the place where, you know, when that thought comes, I just, hey, you know what? I can't afford not to. I can't afford not to. Amen? Give liberally. And that's what God tells you to do. I'm not telling you. All I'm going to say is just do what God tells you to do. Be open enough for Him to speak to you. Amen? And if you start someplace, start someplace. If all you can do is a dollar, then do it. Be faithful at it and watch God multiply it. Before you know it, you'll be given more and more. And it'll become such a habit in your life that it won't be just your money, but it'll be everything you have. Everybody here, as far as I know, as far as I'm concerned, and I've seen, is our givers. But I think we haven't actually touched that spot where we're just where it's really God's money and not ours, where we believe that. Amen? Enough said. Praise God.
Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the beautiful day that You've given us.
Amen.
And for this time that we have to come into Your house and to worship You, Heavenly Father. We ask You to help us to keep our minds open so that we're not complacent about You, Heavenly Father,
yes.
Because that's what prevents You from working in our lives, Heavenly
yes.
Father. And yes. The reason You don't work in our lives is our own fault, not Yours.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, help us to release our entire being to You so that
yes.
we can be what You want us to be, so that we can be the tools that You need us to be to draw others into Your kingdom
yes.
here on this earth.
Amen.
We ask You to bless this offering that we are about to take. It all belongs to You, Heavenly Father,
yes.
so we're returning what rightfully is Yours.
Yes, yes.
In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Amen. He owns it all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord of lords, King of kings. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, once again, we just come before You, Lord, with humbled, contrite hearts and spirits, Lord. You are the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. And Lord, we just thank You for all You are and all You have and all You promise, Lord. Lord, we worship You because You're the Creator, not the creation, Lord. We thank You for everything You've done. We give You praise and thanks. Teach us this morning by Your Word and by the Holy Spirit. We covet Your presence, Lord. We covet Your instruction, Lord. We want to change. We want to be in Your image and likeness. And we want to walk in the fullness of what You have for us. In Jesus' name, and all who can agree, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, it's amazing to me. For those of you who don't know, those songs were picked out 2 weeks ago. And because of circumstances, as some people know, I was not here on two Wednesday nights in a row. But we finally got to do those songs this morning. And little did I know, because I didn't remember what the songs were, because Patrick has the list. And, of course, Harry and Gene practiced them on Wednesday night. I forgot what they were, but they fit in so well to the message as far as I'm concerned this morning. Praise the Lord for that. God knows what He's doing. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Even if we don't, He does. So we pray that we're in our right minds and that we're being led by the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. How many get excited when you see that God's in what you're saying and what you're doing? Amen? Don't look to circumstances and don't try to figure out what God's up to. God knows. God knows. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 18. You know, I don't think there's anybody in this place that's not crying out for the supernatural not just to happen in your life once in a while, but to walk and live in the supernatural. In other words, I'm talking about the power and the authority of God. Amen? You know, one of the things that I've found as I've been listening to different people and as I've been examining my own life is that there are some areas still where I have to make some changes. We go through the routines of life and there are habits to us. And those habits are not beneficial to us. There may be habits, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them, but they're not beneficial to us when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God. Because what happens, we get into a habit, and what takes place is that habit takes precedence over the things of God, because we don't even give God a second thought in some of those habits. Now, some of us may not even think about the fact that God wants to be involved, even with you brushing your teeth, when you put on your socks in the morning. Amen. God is interested in every little avenue of your life, every minute detail. And He wants to be included in every minute detail. What would happen, do you think, if you got up, or even before you went to bed at night, you say, Lord, thank You for the day. I love You. Looking forward to it. I like what Gene's got on the door back there. It says, Lord, I'll see You in the morning. Your house or mine makes no difference. Amen? But the thing is, if we'd ask God, God, what time do You want me to get up in the morning? God, what do You want me to do? What's the first thing You want me to do? Is he that important in your life? Or are you just into habits that you just do, and then you get on your day, and then, of course, maybe about the time you're having breakfast or something, you sit down and you pray, and then all of a sudden your mind goes to God. Come on now. I'm not picking on anybody. There's enough, more than enough for me, I'll tell you right now. The message title this morning is, How Real Is God's Presence to You? Is God so present with you that you're aware of Him every moment of every day? Every breath you take? You don't have to answer. I can tell you, I know what the answer is. And this needs to change. We're crying out for the supernatural, but we won't give place to the things of God the way we need to. We don't give the respect to God that we need to. And I'm not saying we don't love Him. I'm not saying we don't respect Him. And I'm not saying there's not change taking place in your life. I see it. I know there is. But the point is God so real in my life that everything, every little detail from morning till night, from the time that I go to bed at night till the time I wake up in the morning, and then on, God, what do You want me to do? What's Your agenda? Not my agenda, what's Your agenda for today? Where do You want to go? What do You want to do? What do You want to accomplish today? And you want God to give you an answer. Whether it's your job, whether it's just puttering around the house, whatever it is. God needs to be that real to us. Proverbs 3:5-18. The two key verses are 5 and 6. But here's what it says. It says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as the Father, the Son, in whom He delights. Did you know that God delights in you? He takes delight in you. I mean, it's just like standing out there and say, that's my son. That's my daughter. Ooh, do you see? That's my son. That's my daughter. That's the way God feels. Do we feel that way? Do we treat our kids, our spouses, our friends like that? They're a blessing from God. They were made and created by God. Do we give honor where honor's due? Mainly honoring Him. Praise the Lord. Happy is the man, in verse 13, who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. We're talking about understanding now. all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The key in that is in verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord. In order for you to receive the desire of your heart, you have to trust Him. That means in everything. Maybe some of you have been praying for years. You know, Lord, I really want to see this come to pass. I really want to see this come to pass. I want to see this happen in my life. Well, I can tell you right now, once you prayed, it's done. But God's waiting on you. We sing about in His time. And He makes all things beautiful in His time. It's a walk of faith. Our life is a stepping stone life. We're changed from glory to glory. Here a little and there a little. Amen? But the desire for one who knows and loves the Lord is to walk in the power and the authority of God. Not just once in a while. And not just in the get by, but in the abundance of all that God has. Amen? Amen. So he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Now listen carefully. I'm going to say this in the way that it's written out with the definitions. I'm going to give you the scripture first, and then I'm going to give you the definitions for the words. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Did you catch that? In all your ways, in everything you do, in everything you think, in everything you endeavor to do, acknowledge Him, and He shall. What did it say? He shall direct your path. But what He's really saying is in the whole, every and anything totally of your ways, in all your ways, in your journey, your manner, your habit, your course of life. Maybe you need to change your habits a little bit. Acknowledge Him, which means to recognize, to confess, and to consider. In all your ways, confess or recognize and consider the Lord, Him, and He shall direct. And that shall direct means make right, smooth, straight, approve your path. And that means your road or your way of living. Amen? Hallelujah. Merriam-Webster, she talks about acknowledge, and acknowledge is to recognize the rights, authority, and status to express gratitude or obligation. Does that fit anybody here? Do we owe God anything? Do we recognize His rights, His authority? Do we recognize and honor His status? Do you express gratitude to Him every day? Do you have an obligation to Him? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He paid a debt He did not owe, and we owe a debt we cannot pay. Good morning. Amen? Come on, say amen, or owe me, one or the other. The word acknowledge, again, means to admit, to own, to avow, and to confess. And there are other words, and with these words, that's just the words that are involved. Confess means to disclose against one's will or inclination. Oh. When you confess, sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes it cuts across the grain. Sometimes things aren't going the way you are. And to confess just doesn't feel right. How many have gotten up, maybe it was this morning, and said, man, I really don't know if I want to go. But you're here. Hallelujah. To acknowledge implies the disclosing of something that has been or might be concealed. One of the greatest things that happens in our lives is because of our past. You know, I'm going to tell you this. There are some things, I mentioned this to Jean on the way in this morning. There are some things in our lives God doesn't want us to disclose. If we confess to Him, if we've repented and turned our hearts to Him, we don't need to disclose it to anywhere else. It's done. If you've asked God for forgiveness, it's under the blood. It's covered. It's over with. Let it go. But there are some things that we need to confess and we need to acknowledge. So acknowledging implies a disclosing of something that has or might be concealed. And that doesn't mean to one another necessarily, although the Bible tells us to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means if there's something going on in your life and you need to make it right with a brother, go do that. Go do that. Amen? Hallelujah. And then the next thing that goes along with acknowledge is to admit. That implies reluctance to disclose. Sometimes we don't want to admit some of the things in our lives, even to the Lord. We're ashamed. I mean, know what I'm talking about. Amen. Grant or concede and refers to facts rather than their implications. That's what admit means. And then we need to own it. And own implies acknowledging something in close relation to oneself. Now, if I lose you, you tell me. You let me know because I can go back over it. And then the next thing is to avow. And that implies boldly declaring, often in the face of hostility. How many know what I'm talking about? What one might be expected to be silent about. In other words, the enemy wants you to shut up, and God's saying, shout it from the housetop. And then once again, the word confess means it may apply to an admission of weakness. Oh, how many of you go to God and say, God, I'm weak in this area. I need your help. I need your help. And what does God say? He says, I'm the friend that sticks closer than the brother. He says, I'm your co-laborer. I'm the one that works with you and in you. And when you make a decision and you prophesy that out of your mouth, which means you just speak it, say, God, I need your help and this is my decision, then God backs up that decision and makes it come to pass in your life because you've given Him the authority by making that declaration. Are you with me? Help my weakness, Lord. Spirit of infirmity, whatever it is, failure, omission, or guilt. How many of you have ever had guilt? How many of you have guilt right now? Don't raise your hands. Take them to the Lord. We're all in this together. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The most important scriptures here are the first, or 5 through 10, the 5 scriptures. Trust in the Lord. In all your ways acknowledge. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And then God promises it'll be health to your flesh. It says to honor the Lord with your possessions. So your barns will be filled with plenty. And that's one of the things we're talking about here when we talk about having and walking in the power and the authority of God. Some of that comes from by speaking things out of your mouth. Sometimes I get the feeling that some of us sit back and we just expect things to happen by osmosis. You know, come on, amen. To walk in the Word and the authority and the power of God, it takes action on our part. Just like our warfare is, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Why did God give you weapons? There must be a warfare. Amen? He tells you to take on the armor. Why? Because you have the ability to defeat your enemy with the armor of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. See, we've got to get rid of these little things that hold us back. Get up in the morning and, can't seem to get rid of that pain. I really wish. And God's saying, I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. What are you confessing out of your mouth? What are you confessing out of your mouth? Is God really the head and at the highest place in your life? And if He is, then all He says, all the promises are in Him. Yes, and so be it. Or yes and amen. I read somewhere recently, I don't remember where I read it at, whether it was in some of the definitions or what, but that amen is the most powerful word in the Bible. That's a subject for another day. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 22. The key verse being verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 22. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Give you honor and glory. Well, if you're reading the New King James like I am, it's page 1040. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to know about the will of God? Start right there. You want to know what the will of God is in your life? Start right there. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Hold all things, or test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Amen? Now, verse 18, it says, in everything. In other words, in all things. Give thanks or be grateful. For this is the will of God. So in all things, be grateful. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Starts with being grateful for what you have. Realizing what you have is not yours. How many of you get real possessive with your things? Amen? Nobody's saying anything. Either struck a nerve or put you all to sleep. I don't know which. It's all His. You know, we desire to have the blessings of God in our finances and in everything. But is everything we have really His? For Him to command where it goes and what's done with it and how we use it? Or are we a little possessive? That's mine. Own your pen to somebody. But God, that's my pen. That's my favorite pen. Where'd you get it? How'd it get here? How'd you get the ability to get it? Come on. Don't shout me down. Amen. We need to understand something. This is so important, and I don't think we acknowledge this enough. When a woman marries, she takes the name of the man. When you become a Christian, you became part of the bride of Christ. You take his title, his anointing, and all he is. The anointed's. You are the anointed's bride. You're a Christian. You're called by his name, a Christian, Christ one, Christ-like. Amen? And we need to realize that. We're not our own. We were bought with a price. And the price was the blood of Jesus. And if Jesus is really who he says he is in your life, or who you say he is, then there shouldn't be anything as he's told you. Man, when he becomes your bridegroom, he says, no good thing will I withhold from you. Did you all catch that? He says, no good thing will I withhold from you. I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony. And I've heard some of the men that I respect the most in my life talk about this, even recently. How they got to where they are and what's going on in their life and their children's lives. And it's by confessing and saying what the Word of God says, not what they see, not what they feel, or not what's going through their life at that moment. But they're so focused that they confess the Word of God, and basically they're prophesying. Do you know when you speak the Word of God, you can prophesy, you are prophesying into your life, into circumstances and things around you and other people's lives. You're prophesying. Prophesying what? The truth. What's the truth? The Word of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. And he gave himself for her. Now there's an obligation on the bride's side too. The church is the bride of Christ. Verse 26 says, the reason for verse 5 is that he might, in other words, the reason he loves his church, he gave that he might sanctify. And that word sanctify means dedicate to God or to cleanse eternally. Sanctify and cleanse, or purify and consecrate her with the washing by the water of the Word. And that's what needs to take place. As God begins to speak to you and begins to deal with you in your private time and in your meditations, then as He speaks to you and He shares the Word of God with you, that's for your washing and your cleansing. It should be cleaning out the old garbage. Putting out the old clog, you know, cleaning out the old clog drain, getting it open, so that there's a free flow moving. Amen? Hallelujah. If you will, it's like a cup with a spout on it. You get that spout unclogged, and as that cup gets filled, it starts spilling out because the clog's gone. Instead of just gushing over the top, it goes out, and it goes in the direction that spout is. Amen? 2 Corinthians 1:20 through 22 says, for all, everybody say all. For all the promises of God in Him It's only in Him our yes and in Him amen to the glory of God through us. To the glory of God through who? Us. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us in God. Did you catch that? You're anointed in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Do you realize that the very presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is a guarantee of the things that God says? How many of you looked at it that way? That's the guarantee. He said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. Well, He's not here right now, but He said He'd send the Comforter, and He did. Amen. Let's read it again. For all the promises of God are in Him, yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God. To the glory of God. To the glory of God. Through us. We bring glory to God as we walk in the things of God, and we use them according to His plan and purpose. You know, how many remember the story, for those of you who may be new or may not have been here when this was said, the man who founded this church, Stan Setliff, he was talking to God one time, and there was a situation going on in the church, and he was ready to go set that church straight, set the people straight who were involved in this, and there was sin taking place. And so he's, like anybody, he'd be hesitating and wondering, but he went and he studied and he got it all down and he had it all written down, put his hand on the doorknob, got his Bible tucked under his arm, was headed out to right this wrong. And God says, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to go take care of this problem. He says, what are you holding there in your arm? He says, well, the Bible, it's your word. He says, then you use it when I tell you to. We don't just have a free license. And I'm going to use just a little bit a dire verbiage here, but we don't have the right to just go and vomit the Word of God all over everybody. We need to speak words fitly spoken in season so that they accomplish what they're sent to do. Now, God's Word always returns, always brings about the desired end. It doesn't return for it. But sometimes we can become a stumbling block by not listening to that still small voice. What do you want, God? When is it your time? Remember we sang the song, in His time He makes all things beautiful? That's not just talking about making your life beautiful, but making the situations you're involved in a beautiful thing, and not something where you go home and say, dear God, I wish I'd never gotten involved in that. And yet all you're doing is what you feel is right. You want to do the right thing. You love people, and you want to do the right thing. But sometimes, we're too impetuous. Amen. Amen. We do it when He says so, not when we say so. Amen? And when we wait on Him, He'll give us the exact words that'll bring life to a situation. And you'll see the desired end immediately. That's the supernatural of God. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge Him. And what did He promise? He will direct your path. Amen? Hallelujah. Again, in verse 26, Ephesians 5, verse 26, that He might dedicate to God, or to cleanse eternally, and to purify and consecrate her, talking about the bride of Christ, by the washing of the water of the Word. 2 Corinthians 1, 20 through 22. And this is where he says, for all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us. Okay, we've already been there, huh? I'm backtracking. Sorry about that. Now, He who established us, who established you, who established me? He, who's He? The Anointed One, Jesus the Christ. With you in Christ has anointed us in God. He's anointed us because He is the Anointed and He dwells in us. Who has also sealed, He sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The Holy Spirit in your life is a guarantee of what God says. Amen. When we take His name, and we're going to change focus just a little bit here, but it's all because of the grace of God. When we take His name, we enter into God's grace. I do not have the time this morning, nor have I spent enough time in it, and nor could I don't think, in a lifetime, on the subject of the grace of God. With grace comes mercy. With grace comes peace. With grace comes understanding. With grace comes power and authority walking in the things of the Spirit. See, the crux of everything that I'm saying to you this morning is there is a requirement. And that is we have to get us out of the way. And we have to start living like He's real in every situation of our life, every day, every moment of every day, every second of every moment. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That word grace is an amazing word. The word grace is unmerited divine assistance given humans for their regeneration or sanctification. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Grace is the unmerited divine assistance given humans for their regeneration or sanctification. It's virtue coming from God. It's a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine grace. Hallelujah. It's approval. Through God's grace, we receive our approval. We're approved in God. Amen. We receive mercy and pardon through God's grace. Special favor, privileges. A disposition to act to, excuse me, let me try again. A disposition to, or an act or instance of kindness, courtesy, or clemency. We're just scratching the surface, man. This is just a very, very minor drop in the bucket. We're in the vast ocean. And courtesy and grace, God's grace, is a temporary exemption or reprieve. God doesn't hold us accountable for what we don't know, but He holds us accountable for what we know. The reason God set the fivefold ministry in place is to equip you, to teach you how to, and to use the things that He's given, and the promises, and the things that bring about the supernatural in people's lives. And why did He give the supernatural? Why does He say, these things will you do in My name? Cast out demons, raise the dead. You know, if any sick is among you, let them, you know, pray for them and they'll be healed. Why does He do that? So we can boast? No. Because He's reaching out to try to touch people. And you and I are His arms, His feet, His mouth in this earth. So we have to be aware if we want to see these things happen. Not just here. It should be prevalent here, if any place, but not just here, but out there in our everyday life. Maybe only one or two of you have never heard the testimony of a young lady who I was associated with years ago, wanted to see someone raised from the dead. And the way I remember it, she didn't exactly say or specify that it was she wanted to be used, but she wanted to see somebody raised from the dead. Went to the street corner after God had been chasing her around, even took her and got her gas, supernaturally got her gas. No money in her pocket, but got her a tank full of gas, $20 bill that God just was laying around. Ha, ha, ha. No. She pulls in and says, God says, fill your tank. No, I'm not a thief. I'm not going to do that. God says, fill your tank. She finally filled her tank, and then she says, okay, now what do I do? Wait for the police? God says, look on the top of the pump. And there was a $20 bill that covered the gas. So she goes on, and she goes to her next destination and the route and the things that she was doing that day. God said, stop right here. And as she stopped, she looked across the street, saw two men. One was a young man, one was an older man. And as she was watching, the old man just keeled over and died right there. Just died right there. Of course, the young man was having a fit, but it wasn't a Holy Ghost fit. Oh, he's dead, calling for help, 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 help. And God told her, if you go around, I want you to lay hands on him, I want you to call him back. If you're willing and obedient, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. And as she went and started to call him back, she said, in the name of Jesus, come back. And nothing happened. And God said to her, she said, are you ashamed of me? Just like you did to Peter. Are you ashamed of me? God, I'm not ashamed of you. because I'm telling you to come back. So she says, in Jesus' name, come back. And still nothing. And God said to her once more, one time, are you ashamed of me? And she said, Lord, I am not ashamed of you. And he said, command him to come back. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come back. I command you to come back. And if you think that guy was having a fit before, when he came back, he was having an overload of fit. I mean, dear God. I mean, he maybe thought he was in the Twilight Zone or something. I don't know. But the point is that this man came back. But you see, in God's direction and her obedience, she was operating in the fulfillment of a prayer of this man's wife to see this man saved. He didn't know the Lord. And by his testimony, after he was well enough to speak after he got in the hospital, he was supposed to go in the next day and be checked out and be given a heart transplant. And when they took him in the hospital after this incident, he had the heart of an 18-year-old. The doctors could find nothing wrong with him. But you see, Mama had been praying for him. His wife had been praying for him. And so she was the one that God used to fulfill his salvation. He said, when I fell over, when I died there, I felt myself going down a black hole. I could feel the arms pulling out, pulling me down, just pushing me down further and further. Just I heard something, and all of a sudden, I stopped. I wasn't moving anymore. I just stopped. Then he started to go down again, and then a second time he heard it a little louder, and this time he began to rise. And the final time he heard it, he testified, that's when I came back. And it wasn't until she went to the hospital that she found all this out. Mom had been praying for him, and he was scheduled for the surgery. God knows what he's doing. But are we in tune with him? Do we come out of ourselves enough to say, God, what are you up to today? Not what am I going to do, or what, you know, this is what I got to do today. But God, what do you have happening today? You may be just the one that God uses to raise the dead. You may be the one that sees somebody healed instantaneously. A miracle in before your eyes. Who gets the glory? The person or God? See, God knows what we don't know. He sees what we don't see. And he's got everything orchestrated. He makes all things beautiful in his time. So God did a manifold blessing. We talked about this not too long ago. The manifold blessing that came. She wasn't aware. She had no idea. Only thing she had in her mind was, God, I'd like to see you do a miracle. You know, raise somebody from the dead. God not only gave her that miracle, but he used her to do it. And not only that, he answered the prayer of this woman who'd been praying for her husband. And this man was saved from surgery. Heart surgery. We serve a good God. We serve a good God. And he's got it all worked out. If we'll just listen, diligently, listen, and obey. I can't stress that enough. You know, there's things that I've been praying for, that I've been believing for, and I don't see them. And when I look at my life, I see the reason why. It's not because they're not there. It's not because God didn't. You know, there's a man I'm reading a book right now Harry gave to me. I'll just tell you about this. There are people who are supernaturally receiving hair right in front of people's eyes in these meetings. There are people who are being supernaturally healed. There are people, men and women, who are going in there and the audience is watching the power of God, which is so effective and so visible that they're seeing people lose weight right before their eyes. I hear some of you saying, I'm next. Nothing. Was that? There you go. Well, God can reverse that too. God's the giver, not the taker. Except for the things that will harm us. Amen. But in all our ways, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, we need to acknowledge him. In all our ways, we need to acknowledge him. Listen carefully. In closing, Psalm 84, verses 11, 12. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. That's S-U-N and shield. Light, power. How many know the sun gives off power? sun and shield. The Lord will give grace. We've already gone through the definitions of grace, some of them. And will give glory. And no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed, happy is the man, is what blessed means, who trusts in You. Not leaning to their own understanding, but acknowledging Him in all they do and say, and everything that goes on in their life every day. You know, it may be that you've been trusting God for some things, and maybe some things in your life are holding you back. You've gotten an idea, well, you know, that's just not for me. Because you feel that God can never accomplish that in your life. What did we read? He said, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. That means you'll partake of His fullness, His glory. You have to take of that. Amen? How many with me this morning say, that's for me? Amen? Don't hold back. Don't hold back. You're on the verge. You know, everyone. I'm telling you, I've heard preachers that I don't even know, never heard of. But I've also heard Kenneth Copeland. He was with Jerry Savelle this week in broadcast. And I'm telling you, the 10 things they were talking about. What I started to say is that when the children were little and when they were believing, when they first got into this walk of faith, they began to just, you know, seeing what the Word says, and God began to move on their hearts. And they started confessing. One of his daughters came up and said, Jerry Savelle's daughters came, man, where's our piano? And she believed and was confessing it to the point where she even went over and was standing there playing the keys. And all of a sudden, in the corner where they said, that's where the piano go. That's where the piano is. Finally, the manifestation came. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. God doesn't withhold things from you. He doesn't withhold any good thing from you. Amen. Well, and there's more than just giving you what the desire is in your heart. He'll give you a desire to put in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Your Lord. How many are ready to see a change in your life starting today? Hallelujah. To walk in more than you've ever walked in before. To walk in the fullness. Not just the meager get-by blessing of God, but in the fullness of the glory of God and the blessing of God. I'm ready. I don't know about you. I'm ready. But I have to change my ways. I have to change my thoughts. And I have to change my habits. And not be complacent anymore. Complacency will kill any motivation you have. Amen. Amen. So don't be complacent anymore. Understand once and for all that the promises of God for you are yes, and in Him, amen, so be it. For you, He's not a respecter of persons. And He's not a get-by God. He didn't just save you so you can run around saying, well, I'm saved. I got my fire insurance, now everything's good. No, He's got so much more for you. But you have to be willing and obedient. Not just willing, you have to be obedient. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. How many are ready for a new day? A new dispensation in your life? A change? Where when there's a need, we don't run from it, we run to it. Amen? Trusting God. Trusting God. That woman who saw that man raised, she wasn't out of selfishness or pride. It was a desire that was in her heart. God fulfilled that desire. But He fulfilled the desire of a woman for her husband to be saved along with that. And I'm not quite sure, although it's not talked about in that testimony, that the guy who was watching all this having a hysterical fit or a conniption fit, if you will, Bill Cosby would say, didn't get saved too. Hallelujah. Amen. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. If you want prayer today, if you need prayer for something, please let us know. You can tell us right now, or you can wait for an elder. The elders would be happy to pray with you. But I got to ask you, are all hearts clear? Please don't just take that as something we say at the end of the service. God wants, I want, we want your hearts to be clear. Meaning, if there's anything troubling you, don't take it out of here with you. Keep sitting in that muck and mire. Get set free today. Let God put a radiant smile on your face and a warmth in your heart so that He can show you and prove to you maybe something you've been doubting, and that He's really not, or you're really not eligible for all the promises of God. Family of God, that's a lie from the devil. It's a lie from the devil. Don't let him steal from you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to steal the word. He wants to keep you from the fullness of God by lying to you about what the word of God says, or trying to tell you because he thinks he knows what you've done. Once again, I'm going to tell you, you know this. I shouldn't have to say this ever again. You're cleansed from all unrighteousness. Did you hear me? That's what God says about you and me. We're cleansed from all unrighteousness. You can't work up to being good enough for these things to operate in your life. You just have to be obedient, willing. You have to surrender to God. Surrender. Surrender is not surrender until it is surrender. Amen. Father, I lift everyone up who's here, Lord, and those who are not here who represent needs, Lord, those who we know that are not here this morning. I thank you, Lord, they're in your hands. I thank you by faith, Lord, that you're ministering to them. You're setting them free. You're revealing yourself to them. That there's peace. There's healing. There's insight. There's understanding. There's grace. There's mercy. And your power is operating in their lives, even though they may not see it or realize it. And I thank you, Lord, it's for them. Because what you did for everyone, not just for a select few. So this morning we thank you, Lord, that their needs are met, whatever they be. Financially, spiritually, emotionally, physically. I mean, just whatever they need, Lord, it's met in the name of Jesus. And it's done. It's finished. And we thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for this being done in Jesus' name. And so you'll get glory and honor to yourself. And so the kingdom of God will receive glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for everything, for every breath, Lord, that we take every day. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise and glory and honor. Hallowed be your name, Lord. Worthy, you're worthy, mighty God. Hallelujah. Worthy. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now, Lord, I pray for every individual here, Lord. I thank you that your face smiles upon them, shines upon them, that they're blessed going in and coming out, that they have the abundance that you promised, Lord, in their lives, that is visible, it's evident. It's not just a desire, Lord, but they walk in it in Jesus' name. Bless our time of fellowship. Bless those who can't stay, Lord. And Lord, we just give you praise and thanks for this day. And we ask you, Lord, to build upon this word. The seed's been planted. Now you water, you fertilize, and you bring forth the fruit in its season, in each life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.